Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we are being warned that there are 5 under-vaccinated clusters that could put the entire United States at risk. And headlines like this really, really freak people out. And it also seems to kind of brew a resentment towards people who aren't getting vaccinated. So I really want people to kind of just, you know, pump the brakes and take a look at this academically. But a new data analysis identifies clusters of unvaccinated people, many of whom are in the southern United States, that are vulnerable to surges in COVID-19 cases that could become breeding grounds for, quote, even more deadly COVID-19 variants. This is being reported by CNN. Now, the analysis occurred by researchers at Georgetown University, and they identified 30 clusters of counties with low vaccination rates and significant population sizes. The 5 most significant of those clusters appear to be sprawled across large swaths of the southeastern United States and a smaller portion of the Midwest. They say the 5 clusters are largely in parts of 8 states, starting in the east in Georgia and stretching west to Texas and north to southern Missouri. And the clusters also include parts of Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Tennessee, and are made up of mostly smaller counties, but also cities such as Montgomery, Alabama, Shreveport, Louisiana, and Amarillo, Texas. And they say most of these states are currently seeing increases in COVID-19 cases. So according to Shuital Bansal, associate professor of biology at Georgetown University, parts of the country are just as vulnerable, if not more vulnerable, than they were in December 2020. And many people feel that the vulnerable clusters will put all of the United States at risk. Now, for those of you that get concerned that there are conversations about mandatory vaccines and vaccine passports, it is going to be steered by the conversation of some medical experts when it comes to the unvaccinated clusters. Now, I've promised you guys I'm going to tell you like it is. And with my knowledge, being an MD, I don't know everything there is to know about COVID and how this came about and how it mutates. And I can't tell you with 100% certainty that it's completely natural or man tinkered with or whatever. But what I can, though, honestly tell you is a virus, naturally occurring or not, will find opportunity. And when people ask why have I been pro-vaccine, well, there's been side effects reported and things like that, is because I hate the term pro-vaccine and anti-vaccine. I am a fan of people protecting themselves to the best way possible. But I am not of the degree where I think we should force everybody to get the shot, and et cetera. Why would some doctors urge, you know, mandatory vaccine? Why are we seeing health officials, right, who understand the human psyche, suggest it? Well, because if a virus does have an opportunity to take hold in vulnerable patients, it then can grow, it can mutate, it can have, you know, genetic recombination, which we spoke about, and then end up jumping to somebody new that somebody new could be vaccinated and then not be prepared for this newer strain. And so this herd immunity, which you hear everybody speak about, is kind of a way to deflect the virus from taking hold and being able to propagate to the degree that it needs to survive. If you have plenty of people vaccinated, not getting sick, not spreading the virus as much, they can still spread the virus, but not as much, you can maybe slow down the number of opportunities. So the virus replicates to the zillionth degree, and it replicates and then uses the cells to replicate it. Those cells burst. The virus has jumped to new cells, replicates some more. Many viruses have a lifespan, might die off like the common cold in 7 to 10 days. But this COVID virus, we just don't know about its die-off. We don't know if it decides to live in the brain for a while. We know some people continue to test positive for a while. Maybe it's because there's fragments that are still triggering the test to be positive, or maybe the virus can stay active for a long time. Remember, there was somebody who I think had active COVID for over 100 days? So we're not dealing with a typical cold virus. So when you hear these headlines saying these under-vaccinated clusters are putting the whole country at risk, I get a little nervous about the verbiage, because the last thing we want to do is people in underserved medical areas that might have hesitancy with the vaccine, not anti-vax, but hesitancy towards the vaccine, we don't want them to be discriminated against. We don't want them to be segregated. And unfortunately, people think that those who are not enthusiastic about the vaccine are diehard conservatives. And I'm telling you right now, the average person I'm meeting who hasn't chosen to be vaccinated is not politically inclined one way or the other. Their decision, especially when you're looking at places of the South, one thing that's steering their decision is they fear that if they do feel bad, they can't miss work. Or they fear that if they do get a side effect, they don't have access to a medical provider that easily. You know, I live in an area where there's an urgent care on every street. They don't in Mississippi and Alabama. And I know that because I'm licensed in Mississippi and Alabama. So when you have somebody concerned that they don't have insurance, and if they have any sort of side effect, they'd have to go to an ER, and that's going to spend a lot of money, and they feel fine right now, they're probably going to say, I'll pass on the vaccine. Even though you and I might think, you know, COVID is pretty bad, and COVID can put you in the hospital, many people are telling me, look, if I haven't gotten it yet, maybe I already have immunity. So I, as a physician, still urge vaccination. But like I said, there's, you know, unvaccinated groups could cause this to continue and to propagate. Now, true, the Delta variant originated in India, but we still don't know if, like, the Epsilon variant that came from L.A., if that could, you know, if we have more homegrown variants, and we know we do. We'll talk about this more in a little bit. 1-877-DELTA. Don't go away.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not-so-convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals, Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
All right, guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason, who was working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So earlier this week, we talked about a series of medical residents at a New York City hospital who had committed suicide. We also reported a few years back on a fourth-year medical student at NYU Langone Medical Center dying of suicide a few days after a psychiatry resident at the same hospital. And, you know, this has sparked a lot of concern of the safety and health and mental health of those who are trying to become our first responders and our frontline medical professionals. And having done research on this extensively is the dean of UNR Med, my alma mater, UNSAM, best medical school ever, Dean Thomas Schwenk. Dr. Schwenk, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
Good morning, Dr. Dahlia. How are you?
I am good. And, man, bless you and your team for all the work and the advocacy you have done on this topic. Can you talk to my listeners about what you have researched and witnessed in terms of medical student and resident depression and suicidality?
I think what we're trying to understand is the difference between quantitative issues and qualitative issues. So there's been a lot of work on epidemiology. It appears that medical students come into medical school with a lesser risk for mental illness or for suicidal ideation or for suicide. And over time, that seems to creep up a bit. And then it creeps up a bit more in residency. And by the time you get into the practicing physician population, it appears that the risk for suicide by practicing physicians actually starts to exceed that of age-matched general populations. And so we understand the epidemiology and the quantitative aspect fairly well, but what we don't understand very well are some of the qualitative issues. So, for example, are medical students coming in with lesser levels of mental illness but greater risk factors for how they cope with some of the stresses of medical education? Same for And of course, there's always the issue that it's not really about numbers, because any one suicide, of course, is a tragedy. What I talk about a lot when I speak on this is the concentric circles. The reason I think this gets a lot of attention is that the ripple effects, particularly of a medical student, resident, practicing physician suicide, it just spreads throughout their community. It affects patients, it affects all of their colleagues in medical school or residency. It's devastating to a medical school when a medical student commits suicide. The reference you made to the suicide at NYU Langone led to a very powerful editorial by the dean at the time, or the dean of medical education perhaps, who just spoke just so poignantly and so emotionally about how this affected the entire school and their desire to try to prevent this. So it's not like medical student or resident suicide is more important than suicide in the general population, which of course is a huge problem in itself. It's more the kind of larger than life, so to speak, impact and the ripple effects and the way that this just spreads throughout the community. There are all kinds of poignant comments, for example, by patients who have lost their physician to suicide and how they feel abandoned in a sense, and they feel like they've lost a great friend and a supporter and a mentor and someone who really was meaningful in their life.
So there
are those issues on top of the epidemiology issues.
Absolutely, and also some patients as well, they feel guilty. They feel that maybe their
right.
problems and what they brought up to their doctor could have contributed to it well. So I agree, the ripple effect is very powerful. The doctor, he was a medical student at the time who interviewed me for UNR and helped get me accepted. He later committed suicide when he was in private practice. And so, you know, this is something that is very personal to me, and, you know, is definitely pervasive, you know, through the healthcare industry. And I love that you and your colleagues have investigated it. Being a medical educator as well, I try to take so much time with the students, but there's not a lot of, you know, not a lot of resources, or there wasn't a lot of resources, and that's starting to improve. What do you suggest medical schools and residencies do to try to combat this issue?
Yeah, there are two or three things that are getting a lot of attention now. First is just the sheer access to resources and the issue of timing and convenience and financial barriers and that sort of thing. And the a lot of medical schools are really starting to ramp up in terms of the sheer capacity for counseling, but more importantly, making it really available, making it really accessible to students, given their schedules are quite different from undergraduate or other graduate students. So there's an issue of just sheer resource capability and counseling capability and support capability. One of the interesting features in there is that medical schools have to work very hard to make sure that there's no overlap between the academic programs and the mental health programs. So you don't want for example, a professor of psychiatry who is teaching medical students and grading medical students to also be the one providing mental health care to medical students. So you have to have kind of a firewall there.
Yep.
Yet medical students say, yeah, we get the firewall issue, but we really want more accessibility, and we want it to be right in the medical school, and we want to be able to walk right in, and we want it to be right near where we are, and I don't want to have to go across town to some, you know, removed service to get that help. The other thing that's going on that I think is very powerful is that just in the last few months, there have been a number of very high profile editorials and commentaries by very prominent academic medicine leaders, up to and including Dr. Darrell Kirch, who was the former president of the Association of American Medical Colleges. And he shared his own struggles with depression, his own struggles with mental illness, the ways that he has addressed that. And there's a lot of research now about the power of faculty self-disclosure and the power of faculty members or other physicians coming to students and coming to residents and talking about their struggles and talking about their difficulties and talking about how they learn to overcome some of these issues and to continue to be productive practicing physicians or academic physicians. And that's gotten a lot of attention. There have been some studies done that show that faculty self-disclosure markedly increases the likelihood of students or residents to self-disclose and to seek care, because the biggest issue in this whole business is stigma. Far and away, the biggest issue is stigma, especially in practicing physicians who just wall off in the community. They will not talk to colleagues. Colleagues will not pry, will not intrude, will not explore this. There's just this incredible barrier by colleagues to inquire about someone's mental illness, and incredible barriers by the person who's affected to seek appropriate care. And so we have huge work to do to destigmatize this and to make clear to students, this is part of your professional responsibility to care for yourself, to seek care when you need care, to maintain your professional function. That's part of what it means to be a professional, and we're working, that's actually what we're working on the very most at the moment.
Absolutely. When I taught students, I would allow them, and I would open up by saying, you know, be honest if you don't like what you're learning, if you're scared, if you had a bad day, that's normal. People think if they pick a profession, they have to love every minute of it. Their vocation is a vacation, and that's not true. They have to understand it is very trying, and seeing a COVID patient die, or, you know, having somebody, you know, beg you for something that you can't do is very wearing and tearing. And like you said, the stigma, you know, people don't want to say no. They don't want to turn somebody down, and it wears on them.
Yep. Yeah, doctors are human too, you know, and we have to learn how to be able to do both. We have to be human and be accessible and self-aware of our emotions and our needs and the time for support and the time when we just cannot do what we need to do at the moment. And we have to stand up and do the things that we need to do as physicians, and trying to find the sweet spot there can be really difficult at times.
So true, so true. Dr. Schwenk, thank you again. How can people find information on some of your work?
Oh, that's difficult. I mean, I certainly could send some links to you, or there might be some ways to put some of my PowerPoints out, for example, or some of the presentations that I've made. I've got all sorts of slices of this issue, so maybe I can figure out how to get something to you.
Great, great. And JAMA Network also has, I think, published some of your work as well. Dean Schwenk, thank you, and the UNR team, and bless you for all you do, and can't wait to have you back.
Thank you for bringing some attention to this work. It's wonderful. Thanks, Dr. Dahlia.
Anytime. Take care, Dean. All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. We're going to talk next about how, you know, not only are we seeing this kind of self-doubt and you know, issues in the health industry, but many of you kind of feel it in your own industries. And when is it okay to speak out, and what's the best way to deal with it? Don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOCBELLY.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Search and rescue teams at the condo collapse in Surfside, Florida are preparing for a third weekend of recovery work. Miami-Dade County Mayor Daniela Levine-Cava saying time is of the essence.
This recovery is moving forward with great urgency as we work 24 hours a day on the pile to recover victims and bring closure to all of the families still waiting. We want to bring them news as quickly as we possibly can.
The mayor saying the death toll is now at 78. President Biden spoke with Russian President Vladimir Putin today to discuss the uptick in ransomware attacks in the United States. The White House saying Biden underscored the need for Russia to take action to disrupt ransomware groups. Biden saying the United States will take any necessary action. This is USA Radio News. The teaching of critical race theory in schools has been under scrutiny, the Department of Education approving plans for some states to use COVID relief money to promote programs that teach these new concepts in schools. Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee, appearing on Fox News, explains why he thinks the theories taught by the program are problematic.
Critical race theory doesn't celebrate diversity, it weaponizes it. That's bad for America, and it doesn't help heal the wounds that need to be healed.
The Defense Department is looking for places it can send thousands of Afghans who worked as translators for U.S. forces.
We're very actively looking for places that we can get them to and transportation to get them there and to sustain them as they complete the process. There's a lot of energy being applied on this. And you heard the president say just yesterday that we're going to be able to start moving some of them out of the country within the next couple of weeks or so.
That's Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So one of my listeners has been back to work since the COVID pandemic twice and quit their job twice. They don't like the industry they're in. They don't like it. They also think they might be suffering from depression. And so I bring this up, and the reason why we're spending time on this is because this isn't just a medical student and a resident issue. This is something that I think a lot of us deal with. And I like to be very, very honest on the show. I want you all to be pretty honest with yourselves. And as I was speaking to Dean Schwenk about about this when I would have students that would be in medical school and come into my office wanting to talk. Many times they wanted to talk about something random. And, you know, then I'm like, okay, what are they leading into? What are they leading into? And then I would just finally start the conversation going, you know, so how are classes? You know, do you like what you're learning? No, yeah, I go, really? I hated medical school. I hated a lot of the stuff I was learning. I even doubted I wanted to be a doctor. You haven't felt that way at all? Oh, actually, yeah. Really? Am I allowed to say that? Yeah. I'm not going to tell anybody. And it turns out that a lot of people, when they go through their career, or even when they're in their career, they may not realize it, or they do realize, and they're afraid to say, that they might not like it. They might not like the career they chose. How many times have we talked about our relationships and how some of us might be married to somebody we really don't like anymore? I don't want to talk anybody into divorcing, but there is no way to be happy, and there was no way to be fulfilled, and there was no way to be successful if you're not really honest about what you like and don't like in your life. Now, if we're going to dissect it to that level, we need to dissect it deeper. So let's say, for example, you're not happy in your marriage. What is it? Is it that you don't get enough sex? Is it the in-laws? Is it one annoying habit that's a deal breaker? Same thing with the job. You might love marketing, but you can't stand your boss. You can't stand some of the duties you have and some of your workload, and you might not be able to stand your coworkers. Well, that doesn't mean the whole field stinks. You know, I'm in medicine, and as a doctor, I've worked in a variety of arenas as a doctor. Partly because I've held two or three jobs, I just am a workaholic, but I've been an ER doc, I've been an urgent care doc, I've been a family medicine physician for years having my own practice, I've been a telemedicine physician, I've been a professor. So I've been able to work in a whole variety of roles in medicine, and I can tell you right now, they are different. And man, I loved ER, I loved urgent care, I loved my practice, I loved teaching. I really love teaching, but there's definitely pros and cons to some of them. And have I worked with idiots? Have I worked with people who were jealous or tried to interfere with my career? Absolutely. Have I worked with patients that tried to hurt me? Yes. Did I take care of people that, you know, threatened to sue when I did nothing wrong? Yeah. And so when you start to piece together a bunch of the BS that you deal with, you start to think, okay, I picked the wrong profession. No, I will never say I picked the wrong profession. And it's not because I'm stubborn and because I'm worried about the stigma of picking the wrong field. I really, really remember all the good stuff. And I like it. But some of you are in jobs or are given positions where you don't get to do what you really want to do. I hear there are some engineers that go through engineering, which is a real rigorous process, and they do it thinking that they're going to help develop the next NASA spaceship, or they're going to help, you know, develop the next airplane, or revolutionize biotech. And instead, they get a starting job doing analytics, data entry. That's not what they, you know, went through all this for. Same thing with attorneys. You'll hear that some attorneys want to, you know, be like, you know, a trial lawyer or my cousin Vinny or the firm or, you know, be a big, huge partner in the most amazing law firm and be on commercials all over the place. But they get out of school and they work for somebody. They work for somebody and they never make partner. And they do a lot of the scut work. And then people go, oh, I went into the wrong profession. So to my one listener who's quit twice since the pandemic, not liking their job, all right, maybe depressed. First of all, if you're living a life you don't want to live and you're doing something you don't want to do and you're not feeling fulfilled, yeah, you will get depressed. So you need to figure out why you are depressed. Are you depressed because you're lonely? Are you depressed because there's money issues? Are you depressed because you lost somebody? Or are you depressed because you aren't liking a job? Then find something you like. And if that what you like doesn't make money, get a job that makes money, but make sure you do what you like on the side. You know, people in my field are shocked, absolutely shocked, that I went into radio. Because starting out on radio, I mean, it not only was there no money, but it cost money. And to cut back on patience or to extend my hours so I could start doing radio full time as well as a practice full time, doctors, everyone I met said, don't you make more money as a doctor? But the thing for me is when I started to feel, and I don't want to call it burnout, but when I started to feel unappreciated, and I started to see what was happening with Obamacare and the high deductibles, and when I started to see that there were people who, you know, needed help, and I really liked the education aspect, I found that a funk that I was going to start going into, my friend had gotten sued by a patient, you know, and I'm like, gosh, you know, am I going to get sued one day? And I'm looking at all this, radio just completely energized me. And it made me want to teach, and it made me want to become even more of a professor. And it made me want to write books, and it made me want to do more charity work. And it just lit that fire. Yes, now I'm nationally syndicated, thanks to GCN Network, and thanks to all my affiliates. And I've been able to now evolve into having a successful career in radio. But to start out, there was no return on investment. It was not a money thing. It was a, you know, this is something I love. So for those of you that are struggling, liking the job or dealing with the employer, or just kind of, and mind you, a lot of you lost your careers. You lost your life savings because of COVID. Many of you lost any hope of early retirement. That's going to weigh on you. But what is retirement? Retirement is doing things that you want to do. Now, everybody says, I want to travel. I only have enough money to go to one place once a year. I would still be able to travel 365 days a year. So what else would we do in retirement? Well, I've always wanted to write a book. I've always wanted to build this porch. I want to see my grandkids. Then do that. Even if you are working, do that. Luckily, with jobs right now, so many can be virtual. So many could be online. You can bring your laptop. You can have maybe a flexible shift. Remember I told you yesterday, now's the time to name your price. If you only want to go back part-time, then go back part-time. But if you want to write that book, if you want to write that song, if you want to put that YouTube video of you, you know, singing, because I've always wanted to publish an album. I've always wanted to record an album. And I'm working on it. It's hard to make it, you know, sound the quality I need it to sound. And, yeah, it's my voice, too. do it. I nothing should be stopping you. Because your job is not going to make you happy. Everybody goes, oh, yeah, I'm happy at my job. And most people have issues with their job. I hear everybody complain about their job. You shouldn't hate your job, but don't look to your job for happiness. You're going to have to look to the whole package. And a lot of times it's going to be little things put together. 1-877-DOCTOLLY. Don't go away.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there.
and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair to dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing. Then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Alright guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, one of my favorite actors is Val Kilmer. And Val Kilmer has gone through a pretty rigorous process with some of his health issues when it comes to his throat. And he has recently gone public with his battle of throat cancer. Now, apparently he is cancer-free. We are extremely happy about that, as throat cancer can be very, very deadly. And he actually has filmed a documentary, stars in a documentary that's going to be in theaters July 23rd, and I believe streaming on Amazon Prime, I think August 8th. And it kind of goes through his career journey. Apparently Val Kilmer had collected like years and years of footage from home movies to, you know, to snippets of him filming, and you hear the director telling him to stop, you know, filming, and he's like, no, I'm catching this on camera. And you see Kevin Bacon and, you know, Sean Penn and other people, you know, in these videos. And so he definitely has some journalism skills and took a lot of footage and ended up putting it all together for this documentary called Val. And he also wrote a memoir, I'm Your Huckleberry. And Val Kilmer is one of the most iconic actors. His, you know, role as Iceman in Top Gun, Batman. There was also that comedy he was in with a, there was a cow. I forgot on the movie poster. I forget what it was called, but it was supposed to be a tongue-in-cheek comedy and things like that. So he not only could do Jim Morrison of the Doors and have very serious method acting, but he could also do comedy. And he was just very, very gifted. Well, in an interview on Good Morning America, as well as in this documentary, he opens up about his throat cancer battle. And he currently uses a voice box device called an electrolarynx to help him speak. Apparently, he's very, very hoarse, left practically without a audible voice after his cancer treatment. And so during the interview, you hear him with the voice. I actually added the video to this article that's on my website at drdahlia.com, as well as Facebook and Twitter. And so you could, you know, and he speaks, and he's actually pretty funny. And he's pretty optimistic about his, recovery and being able to, still work without having his original voice. In fact, somebody said, what do you miss about your voice? And he goes, well, I didn't sound like a pirate. You know, he was able to add humor to it. And, you know, he was always kind of funny and comical and a smart alecky. So, you know, the way he portrayed in his movies was pretty similar to his real life persona. But basically, back in 2015, Val Kilmer was allegedly hospitalized for a, quote, bleeding of his throat. Now, his rep had released a statement back in 2015 that he was evaluated for a possible tumor. What was very interesting about Val Kilmer's road with cancer is he kept denying it. Understandably so. But he denied it. He denied that he had cancer. He told fans on Facebook he had a complication for which he was being treated. Then in late 2015, he was seen with a tracheostomy tube. Now, these tubes are placed after a tracheotomy. So a tracheotomy is an opening of the windpipe to allow air to get through the lungs, bypassing the throat. The tube was removed, and a month later you see a picture of Val Kilmer posted on Facebook. He's smiling. He's looking well. But again, he denied having cancer. Now, Michael Douglas, one of his colleagues who had throat cancer, actually spilled the beans in an interview back in 2017. And Michael Douglas had mentioned that Val Kilmer had cancer. And when that news came out, we were like, really? And Val Kilmer again denied claims he had cancer. But later that month, there was on Reddit an Ask Me Anything. And this is where stars and celebrities can talk to fans. And I guess a fan asked about Michael Douglas' statement. So Val Kilmer said he was probably trying to help me because press probably asked where I was these days. And I did have a healing of cancer, but my tongue is still swollen, although healing all the time. And that's when people realized that he had throat cancer. Now, during an interview with CNN, he says he's been cancer-free for 4 years. Now, his voice in this documentary, it's uncanny. It sounds like him. It's actually his son, Jack. So it's Jack Kilmer speaking. And so there are actors or his son using doing his voice, and he is still able to act. in movies, and in fact, we are going to be seeing him as Iceman in the Top Gun sequel, Top Gun Maverick. So let's talk about throat cancer. The throat is not just a one anatomical location. You have the nasopharynx, which is above the soft palate, which is the upper part of the throat behind the nose. That's where you get swabbed for COVID. That's back in the throat, but in the nasopharynx part. You have the oropharynx, which is the soft palate and the between the soft palate and the epiglottis. Epiglottis is that flap that goes between the trachea and the esophagus, and it's the oropharynx. And it's kind of the middle part of the throat. It includes the back wall, sides, tonsils, as well as the posterior one-third, the back of the tongue. And then you have the laryngopharynx. And the laryngopharynx, or the hypopharynx, is the lowest part that leads to the esophagus and the larynx. The esophagus is the eating tube, and then the larynx is the voice box. So cancer in any of those sections could be considered throat cancer. When somebody has cancer of the larynx, the voice box, it's called laryngeal cancer. And technically, it could be separate from hypopharyngeal cancer. So there are some delineations, but for generally, we call it throat cancer. Now, some SARS apparently have been passed away of throat cancer, but they had actual esophageal cancer. Esophageal cancer is different. Esophageal cancer many times has been called throat cancer, but it's of the gullet, and many times it's much lower near the stomach area. So I want to make sure that's separate. So you'll hear, like I said, Robert Kardashian, they listed him as having throat cancer, but I thought he had esophageal cancer. So we need to be very careful about that delineation. So how common is it? Well, according to the American Cancer Society in the U.S., for 2021, they're expecting there to be about 12,620 new cases of laryngeal cancer diagnosed. About 3,700 people, 3,000 men, 750 women, will die of laryngeal cancer this year alone. What are symptoms? Chronic sore throat, hoarseness, changes in your voice, chronic cough, difficulty swallowing, having a lump in your neck that doesn't hurt, neck pain, ear pain, weight loss, that's to name a few. So what puts you at risk? Well, HPV, the human papillomavirus, those can cause high rates from oral sex. Epstein-Barr virus can also increase one's risk, tobacco, alcohol. Having gastroesophageal reflux, heartburn, could put somebody at risk with the acid hurting the tissue. And then poor diet, lack of fruits and vegetables. So we have to catch this early. Many people think they just have a sore throat or strep. If you have repeated sore throats, you got to get yourself looked at. The sooner we find it, the sooner we could treat it. There's surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, targeted drug therapy. But I know many people with throat cancer, and they are alive today. Michael Douglas is one of them. Michael Douglas had a sore throat. It was originally diagnosed as not just a sore throat. And then because it persisted, he got looked at and turned out he had cancer. He was treated with chemo and radiation. And by 2011, he was in remission. He was able to keep his voice. Sadly, there are many people who died of throat cancer. Babe Ruth was only 53. Sammy Davis Jr., George Harrison had throat cancer. Aaron Moran, Joni from Happy Days, Michael Crichton. Suspected throat cancer, President Ulysses Grant, Bob Denver from Gilligan's Island, Carl Perkins. So congratulations, Val, on your new documentary and being able to be cancer-free. 1-877-DR-SALLY, don't go away.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how did it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.